News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Mick Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner, is with us this morning to bring us up to speed on some of the stories you may not yet have heard. And Mick, prime amongst them is a surge in evictions as landlords are now taking up half of the homes on the market. In other words, more than 50% of houses being sold currently are being sold by people who have said, hump this, I don't want to put my house out to rent anymore.
Yeah, it's very, very worrying, Anton. I mean, it comes it comes in a time where we have the new rental rules, and one element to that is the six-year minimum tenancy, and that seems to be putting a certain number of people off. I mean, there is dispute, I have to say, in terms of the various figures that are compiled. I've seen other analysts suggesting that it's not as big an issue, certainly until recent months, of landlords leading, so it's totally unclear. But it does look like, first of all, the so-called mom-and-pop landlord might have an extra property or whatever. They're aging. Very often these would have been bought with the view to having something for a pension and what have you. And that combined with the new rental rules appear to be hiking up the number coming. And it is very worrying for this reason. You go back 20 years, you've a certain amount to churn. The problem is those being evicted are finding it extremely difficult to find another place to stay, to live.
And there's interesting analysis in the Irish Independent, and I quote from a piece written by Mark Keenan, where he says that our own succession of governments, when it comes to solving more than our decade-led housing crisis, what do they do? Well, they consistently come up with one measure after another that actually makes things worse, even despite good advice from those in the know around them. And what he is asserting in his piece is that this was all done in the hope that it would make the market more attractive to large-scale landlords. Well, what happens in the interim?
Absolutely. You're talking about thousands and thousands of lives. Upheaval. You're talking about families. You're talking about young children. Where are they going to live? And also, there's an element of transforming the model here to the extent that, as Mark said, they're trying to attract institutional investors, which you're talking about far more apartment living. Now, we're not accustomed in this country to families growing up in apartments to any great extent the way they are, for example, in mainland Europe. However, they're very different standards there. They're very different approaches to it there. And they're also, there's nearly an acceptance that a certain cohort are going to be renting all their lives in this model. And a huge question that nobody has addressed yet is, what happens when these people reach pension age? Because normally, if somebody is either in public housing or they're in private housing, they'll have their mortgage paid off by the time they reach their pensions. What happens if you persist with this model, if you have no sort of rent controls or anything? And there's very much throw it to the wind and let's hope this works kind of thing about it, I think.
Well, if you have a view, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent or 087-1400-106 on WhatsApp. Sky News is running on the screen here in the studio, Mick. And all the way through the morning, there have been pictures of firefighters trying to get a blaze under control in London. That in and of itself is not particularly unusual. What's unusual is the nature of the blaze and the reason it was started.
Yeah, four ambulances from a Jewish ambulance service were set ablaze. It was arson, and it very much seems to be an anti-Semitic attack, which is very worrying. There's been a rise in this. There was always a latent amount of anti-Semitism in societies right across the world. Quite obviously, the behaviour of Israel has prompted some to act on their anti-Semitism, perhaps. With others, the nature of it is that they're targeting all Jewish people. We've experienced this, Anton. Go back to I was in London in the 80s, and you had an anti-Irish sentiment because of what was going on with the IRA. They were identifying Irish people when the tiny minority of them identified with the IRA. You know, there are strands of that here, and it is definitely very worrying.
And is it me, or is it becoming almost, not quite acceptable, but if you look at the kind of anti-Semitism that is now the bubbling undercurrent on a lot of social media, it is the kind of stuff that would have made people pariahs 10 years ago. Now it's almost normalised.
It's just one of many in that vein. Absolutely. There's no question about it. And, you know, there is no doubt. It is completely wrong to equate what Israel are doing at a governmental, at a military level with Jewish people. It is absolutely wrong. It is totally. But people are going to do that, particularly, and you talk about social media, which is driven by resentment, driven by anger, driven by division. So you're going to see more and more of that, and the fall on from that coming out of that kind of talk as well, you know?
We were talking about housing earlier on, and some of the papers have pictures of a huge, a 6,000 square foot pile of rubble that was once the home of Michael and Rose Murray, the two of whom I believe are going to be attending proceedings in the four courts today. Not much to recover if that was their hope in these proceedings, but I assume it is other.
Yeah, well, they're also up for contempt. I assume that's just going to be shelved now on the basis of, it is an awful story. But there's another side to it, and I've seen this just over the years in work. I have to say this, local authorities are extremely slow to demolish something. And the idea of using retention, and in this case, I've seen the couple, they said they were a typical Celtic Tiger couple. Very often it's developers or what have you. They'll take the mickey out of the whole system and they will build and then apply for retention. The other notable feature here is you're talking about legal proceedings that were going on for decades in attempt to resolve this. And I have huge sympathy for the couple. But at the end of the day, do we have laws or do we not? And who are those laws to apply to? Very nearly in all these instances, you're talking about the better off in society decide they're going to chance their arm at it. And I know these people have fallen on less easy times and there's other issues, and it is really unfortunate. But a question arises, like, who are the laws there for? Are they there for all of us or are they not?
Final thing then, I don't know if you saw it, but Barry Keoghan is saying that he literally doesn't want to leave his house because of the level of abuse that he gets online.
Yeah, that's. It seems overreaction, you know. But at the same time, he does definitely seem to have attracted abuse. And he talks about the way he looks and that. The fantastic thing about Barry Keoghan is the way he looks is unique. He has that. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Anton, only on a personal level, I saw him talking recently about Troy Parrott, who was a neighbour of his. And Barry revealed in that he played for Drumcondra AFC, my own young fella plays there. Yeah, I mentored kids there. Well, I had crowd control, put it that way. But so we all grab any kind of association we can at all with the fame.
Shows you how tough, though, it is, life in the public eye at the moment, that if you can be as successful as him, yet still be made to feel that bad by what people say about you.
It does, and I suppose the lesson is stay the hell away from social media if you can at all.
Mick, thank you very much. That is Mick Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.